Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for what you want to speak. Thank you for what you want to do. And thank you for the gift of revelation that gives us the ability to have sight. Father, fill me with the Spirit. Put your words in my mouth. Thank you for the angel of revelation that's here. Thank you for every person that's here. And I ask that you would glorify your Son today. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to mark us with a greater revelation of the beauty of your Son. Teach us in a greater measure. God, let it be said of these people, you said in the last days there would not be a famine for the word of the Lord, but for the hearing of the word. So teach us to be good hearers. And we know that hearing is doing in Scripture. Let all the gifts of the Spirit be in operation. Lord, thank you for hungry people who desire to hear what you want. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of interesting, and normally, I don't know, at least in my mind, I wouldn't think that this would be the appropriate thing or direction to go in, but I've learned he doesn't track that way. But I want to talk to you about a key to life, and in this concept of prophetic people, being a prophetic people, and I have found and I have learned that your life will go well and you will receive everything that you have need of and all the inheritance that God has for you if you will build your life in this manner. And I can honestly say that my life has been defined by this one principle. And my greatest breakthroughs have been defined by this one principle. And what I'm saying is, this was the door that brought breakthrough. This was the door that brought healing. This was the door that brought an understanding of his voice. This was a door that opened an understanding of a gifting. This was the door that made me understood favor on my life. This was the door that told me who I was going to marry. This is the door right here. And you will never miss a turn if you live your life this way, really simply. Have a deep relationship with God. My whole life for 26 years has been defined by this one principle. 26 years ago, I had a life-changing moment with the Lord. And I never desired to be in ministry. I thought preachers were weird, especially traveling preachers, because the one that came to my church that I grew up in, they lived in RVs, and I didn't think that was very cool. Like, people are like, oh, we love the wilderness. I don't. You know, I like going and coming home. They're like, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to get out in the open. I'm going, is there internet? They're like, no, that's the wonderful thing. That's not wonderful for me. Can we take showers at the end of the day? Well, we got to know. But the traveling preachers that came to my church lived in RVs, and if they had children, even if they weren't twins, they made them dress up the same and make them sing. And I thought that was borderline Pentecostal child abuse. So God has a sense of humor. But when I was 18 years old, literally, I had this life-changing moment with the Lord. I stood up in the back of this auditorium. And when I stood up, literally the whole trajectory of my life changed. I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes then, made lots of mistakes. I'm not saying I didn't miss turns at times. But literally the whole trajectory of my life changed. I saw myself going around the world. I saw myself being on the cutting edge of revival. And then something else happened is this. There was a seed that dropped on the inside of me that hungered for everything that God had for me, and it was this seed that literally I'm stoking still today. It's still bearing fruit. And I remember I'm sitting in this little dorm room in North Carolina, and I told the Lord two things. When you are fully given, listen to me, Linda, when you are fully given to the Lord, he is open to your request. Say that again. When you are fully given to the Lord, when you are fully given, what I mean, everything's on the table. Where I live, where I go, my money, everything is on the table. He is open to your request. I remember my first year in ministry, I had the privilege of sitting with Dr. Bill Bright in this room in Orlando, about 12 people, one of the great men of our time, great men in church history, in my opinion. And he worked as a chocolate factory man. And his life, his story, like, stirred something in me. He was, I believe, fairly wealthy. And his story was, as he gave his life to the Lord, he feels this call to start Campus Crusade, which so many other ministries have been birthed from. He signed this thing with his wife, Vanetta. And they said, from this day forward, we are bond servants of the Lord. We will do what he says, where he tells us to go. Everything is his. We will obey him from this day forward. They signed it, both of them. I don't mean this to be mean, but part of the reason many believers don't grow into maturity is they live in the place of indecision in the most routine and fundamental things that are part of the faith. Like, the whole point is to enter the kingdom is complete surrender. And some people are like, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to service today. When you're still struggling with routine choices, it'll be difficult to fully inherit what he has inside the kingdom for you. But when you are fully given, he said this, he made this statement that was, I ran with it at 18 years old. He said, gentlemen, if you ask anything of God with a pure heart, he'll give it to you. And his point was, when you are surrendered, you're not telling God what to do, but what you're saying, I've given myself to you, but I have certain requests. And I had this request to the Lord. I said, I want to know you, and I want to see everything in the Bible. And also, I want to continue to grow in everything you have me. I never want to stop expanding, because I know I'm going to keep growing even after this life. And I also want to suggest to you that one of the areas that I can point to that survives beyond this life is your revelation of Jesus Christ. And so I remember sitting there. I said, I want to know you, and I want to see everything in the book. So I just began that day. I just remember. He talked about you really can't. I've learned that too. You can't teach people hunger. But you can feed your own hunger. You are the one who defines your appetite in God. John chapter 3. He whom God has sent speaks the words of God. And then Jesus makes this most remarkable statement that I ran with many years ago. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. And I thought, if he doesn't give the Spirit by measure, then I'm the one who chooses how much I can receive from him. And so I didn't realize how dysfunctional I was, but I knew I was going to know God. So that first day, I've told this story many times and I remember it, but there's a point to it. Sitting, I'm going to talk to God. So I started talking to God. Nobody taught me, so I'm just talking to God. Talk to him about everything. Then I'm running out of things to talk to him about. So I start repenting for things I did in fourth grade. My dog. Sorry for doing that to that teacher. And I'm thinking, surely at least 20 minutes had gone by, and like 5 minutes had gone by. And I'm going, this is so boring. Really, that's what I thought. How do people do this? But I knew a verse. See, when I read scripture, and I encourage you to read scripture that way, and people are like, I just can't hear the voice of God. You're not that special. You're not that special. Because the word says, my sheep hear my voice. So apparently, you're one of the only exemptions ever, or God is lying. And God can't lie, so I pick you. But I knew this verse. Seriously, I knew as a kid. Thank God for my parents putting the word of God in me. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And this is what I told the Lord. I was like a college athlete, so I just thought of terms like that often. I told him, I had my classes in the morning, had wrestling practice in the afternoon, so I'd go to lunch, and I would sit there, and I go, I'm not moving till I meet with you. And I start at 10 minutes, and then I start at 20 minutes, and I start at 30 minutes, and I start at 40 minutes. So I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord, I want to encourage you to have a vision for a life of fellowship with God today. It's amazing people plan their vacations, plan this, plan that. But I did. I had this vision for a life. I would read. I've had to re-upgrade my vision for a life of fellowship because I used to read Acts. He used to say, I'd read about angels. I'd read about Ezekiel's experience. And then I said, Lord, I step into that. I would put myself into that. And I began having them all. I'm not exaggerating in any way. And so I had to go, God, I need to upgrade this because there's more. And what he began to do was he began like this really deep work in my heart. I remember the first time I went to prayer ministry, inner healing. By the way, that's one of the fundamentals of faith too. And you usually know that you need to go when you don't think you need to go. And then you also really need to go is when you make the appointment and everything else comes against you going. Early church, primitive church, fundamentals of faith. Part of our problem in the Western world is we have not built fundamentally. And so we have sometimes very gifted people. Even I work with leaders all the time. You can be really gifted. You can even have a large following, but have lots of creepy crawlers. And the lie is because you're doing well in one area that you don't have anything else going on that needs fixing. It's one of the great lies. So I remember going to prayer ministry for the first time. And this is one where they're asking questions. I've gone a lot of different ones because I'm very aware how much help I need. And it's another mark of maturity, by the way, the ability to be self-aware. I have learned that some of the most deceived people sit in our pews week after week, and they're called leaders too. The inability to admit there's an area that needs healing is pride. And so I remember even back then, it was actually, I didn't know what I was praying. I was like, Lord, I'm before you. Everything's before you. And I told the Lord, I'm going to be very honest from this day forward. Even to this day, sometimes. I know when I'm wrong, but I still articulate I'm like David. I go, I'm really like not liking this person right now. I'm going to tell you right now. I know it's not right, God, but I don't like them. And I would like not to ever talk to them again. And so then, you know what he does? He starts like this whole counseling thing with me. He goes, well, the reason you don't like them is, you know, you got slighted in fourth grade and this is coming up now. And so it's triggering something in you. And so he's really right. You have a relationship with yourself. You discover a lot about yourself by what upsets you internally. But I remember that first inner healing session, and they're just going through all these things, and I'm starting to think back, and I'm like, oh no, the Lord spoke to me about that. Oh, the Lord spoke to me about that. I remember one time, you know, still a good prayer. I'm praying, Dave. Lord, because I still pray this way. Give me a grace to change nations. Give me insight. Give me understanding. And he goes, why is it? Like, he's so funny. You know, you think you're like spiritual, and he knows how immature you are. He's like, why is it that you're trying to prove to your father you can be a success in ministry? No, nations. We're talking about nations today. Nations, you know, I'm a nation changer, world changer. Did you hear the prophet told me I'm a nation changer? He goes, well, let's deal with that. And then I realized, see, you can even have correct desires out of wrong motives. My dad was my hero, still is. He stood next to me when I got married. And I'd seen how God's hand was on everything he did. And it's like, I'm going to show him. God's with me too. The Lord's like, you don't need to show anyone. Right, boss. Right. So what I'm saying is, in transparency before the Lord, and in consistency coming to the Lord day after day, he'll start to unravel these things. It's not always singular, but in that singular pursuit, he'll open up some things to you. Here's a really important point. The ability to prophesy does not make you mature. The ability to hear the voice of God does not make you mature. I want to suggest, too, that Jesus had this vibrant life of fellowship with God. And his fellowship with God was personal, intimate, and solitary. He is our example. Let me just say that again, because often, and I've run into this thing sometimes when there's things, and no one else, listen to me, Linda, no one else is your standard. Except Jesus and the Word of God. Because sometimes people go, well, this person does this, and, you know, they do that, and, you know, so, like, I'm okay with it. You know, they're really godly. They're not your example. Remember one time, I learned this principle years ago. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit. I went to more of an evangelical college, and I was talking about, I love praying in tongues. Everyone should pray in tongues. The girl goes, well, my mom's a prayer warrior, and she's never prayed in the Spirit. I'm thinking to myself, well, your mom is not the standard. I'm sure she's a very nice person. I'm sure she loves Jesus, but she's not the standard. The Word of God is. So the Word of God is your standard. And here's the discipleship point. The goal of God is not to get you to heaven. The goal of God is not to get you to heaven. God's vision for your life is not to get you to heaven. His vision is for you to be like Jesus. And then heaven becomes a consequence. And this is not even a small distinction here. Because if the vision of your life, well, I'm going to get to, you know, going to heaven, that's my goal. If that's the vision for your life, you will make your choices based upon that denominator. But if the goal is to be like him, you're called higher. And your choices are based like that. Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. So Jesus is our example, and I'll say it again. Jesus was the first man since Adam to express God's original intent. Jesus had this life of fellowship. Now it came to pass in those days he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night to prayer. He did everything perfect. And I believe this is probably one of the reasons, definitely one of the reasons why he did everything perfect is because he had this life of communion. Everything he does in the earth is exactly like the power you've been given. Think about, every time I meditate on the beauty of Jesus, the guy who speaks the world into existence comes and lives under the limitation of the world he created and then lives like us. He is our high priest and he knows what it's like. I think maybe it's possible. Because he says he's tempted in every way. I think possibly at the woman of the well, he's tempted. Something's going on there. He knows what's that like. And he goes, you can live above that. He knows what it's like to be bombarded. He knows what it's like. But he lived with this vision, the joy set before him. What he's modeling the life without revelation, he perished. He's got a choice just like you do. But he makes this statement. He tells Pilate, no one takes my life from me. What's he telling us? I have a choice in all of this. You have a choice. You are extremely powerful person. So powerful you can actually shut down the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now in the morning, having risen all night before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Here's important. Our fellowship with God does not earn us anything in God, but it positions us to receive everything he's made available to us. The beautiful thing about God, too, is everything that he requires of us, he's given us the power to do. Everything he's required of you, he gives you the power. I love Romans 11. In him, through him, and to him are all things. Everything fruitful, everything beautiful out of your life was first given to you as a gift of God. That's why your life is an act of worship, because when you receive it from heaven, when you act properly, when you think properly, act properly, and when you live that way, he takes it as a beautiful expression. Wow, what I gave to them, they're giving fully back to me. And let me just say this. The reason that this is so important is you will never inherit certain realities God created you to receive without a deep life of fellowship with God. Psalm 139 says, my thoughts towards you are like the sand of a seashore. That's a lot of thoughts. The Lord told me years ago when I started on this journey, he goes, there are men and women very known on the earth, but they don't move a lot of things up here. And then there are men and women not very known on the earth, and they move the earth with their friendship with me. And so it's like this is a subject that you will never exhaust. You'll never exhaust this. This is now, I'll give you several stories. About 8 years ago, I thought, you know, I feel stuff. And I'm like, is there something wrong? Like, I'm thinking, like, I'm praying to God, and I feel like there's something wrong. You know, am I doing the right thing? Do I need to switch direction? Did I miss a turn somewhere? You know, like, is there something off? He doesn't tell me anything, so I just keep focusing. He'll let me know. I'm telling you, if you put fellowship with God in front of you, it is not your responsibility to fulfill those words. It's not your responsibility to do this. Not to respond. He will tell you everything you need to know if you'll stay in fellowship. He'll make it really clear. Like, you got to really want to miss it when you're walking with God. And he'll let you know. I remember I had John, when the first time I went to Bethel, I went into the prayer room, I had this profound encounter with the Lord. It was, and he showed me the vision of my life and showed me some things he had assigned to me. And I'm thinking, how could this ever happen? So I remember I had it all written out. I had this guy put some artwork to it. So I'm looking at this thing and, you know, I'm like, I'm like, let's get it done. Type A, you know, like I am, you know, I don't really get this. Like, the Lord told me to do this 7 years ago. I'm like, what? What have you been doing for 7 years? I just really had a burden for this 6 years ago. I'm like, go do it. Anyway, sorry, getting some inner dialogue going in my mind of what I think sometimes. So I'm like, how do I do this? And the Lord speaks to me. He said, you don't need to worry about how to bring that to pass. If you'll just stay in fellowship with me, everything you need to know, when you need to know, I'll let you know. Right, boss, got it. So a few years go by, Dave, and I get a little nervous because the Stephen Covey, Tony Robbins, you know, put the vision before you type of thing. He hasn't told me anything. So I go to I go to lunch with my pastor. Really respect him, so we always spend at least several hours often on this time. We call it lunch. It's usually the rest of the day. So we get back to the church, and I got my vision. I'm a man of God. He's a great man of vision. So I show him the vision. And he's like totally unimpressed. He just like throws it back at me. Like literally. He goes, Abner, the Lord just wants you to know everything you need to know when you need to know it. He'll let you know if you'll just keep doing what he's called you to do. I don't mean to make it so simplistic. So back to my other story. This is like, I think 8-9 years ago, getting stirred. So I'm like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I don't know why. It's not wrong, but something's like out of balance. I don't like disorderly things. I really don't. This water fell in between this crack in my dryer yesterday morning. I could not leave the water in there. I just was so upset. Like, I got to move, got to get the water. I'm not leaving the water stuck, and I couldn't get it with my hand. So I get a rake from my, because I'm just not leaving the water. It's out of order. It's how my mind thinks. I don't like out of order things. It's part of the way I'm wired. So I got the water out. I'm not leaving this house till I get this water out. So then I go into this fast. I go into 21 days. I said, God, something just tell me. You know, I put myself in. And I'm standing on a Friday night at Main Street, John, at New Day High Point. I think I forget what day it is. It's like day 19 of this fast. I haven't heard anything. And I hear the Lord say to me, there's nothing wrong. I just wanted you to feel a fresh stirring to know me. And you haven't experienced anything yet. And so I'm inviting you to come to a deeper place. And I wanted you to know the stirring of my heart to invite you to know more. I said, this is the greatest word of my life I've ever gotten. Flash forward. Good Friday this year. Beautiful time of worship. And I go into this vision. And it's like I'm in the throne room. And it was like everyone had equal access. But I could see like it might have been millions, but there was at least thousands of people. And I knew that they had a greater revelation of God than I did. It wasn't like this jealousy bad thing. It was just go, I'm inviting you to come closer again. You can have what they have. See, in the kingdom of God, he's not a socialist. It's equal invitation, not equal understanding. Many are called, few are chosen. I always thought this was fascinating. I wrestle with his descriptions of the kingdom because, you know, it's like the king calls everyone. Like he's like the good, you know, the nice guy, you know, like nice guy. Come everyone, come to the table, come to the table. And then they don't come. And notice, I don't mean to be funny. I am proud to be an American, really am. I don't, and also don't let anyone ever make you feel bad about loving your country. God is the one who creates countries. Paul said, I'm the one who designed boundaries between men and cultures and things. So don't, but I do hit things that I see are so common with Americans that keeps them from living in the freedom of God. So I always read that, and I definitely, in that parable, I put Americans in there. Because, you know, they don't say, like, I'm cheating on my wife. You know, I'm cheating on my taxes. I'm doing the wrong thing. They just go, I just got married. I just started a business. These are not overtly sinful things. In fact, God can call you to do these things. They're just saying, these are the reasons why I can't come to the wedding. And you'll notice that their reasons don't register with the king. And this is important because your reasons, whatever they may be, not you, the person behind you, those things don't register. And there's this passion of God's heart where people are like, we want revival. And I wonder sometimes if they do, because it will be very inconvenient if all of Martinsville wanted to get saved and the glory of the Lord broke in here and you might have to be here 7 days a week. You might have to not go to the beach house certain weekends. You might not have to do this. You might actually have to change your working hours to be involved in what God is doing. I'm just saying, be aware of these things because these are certain choices you might have to make to be fully engaged in what God is doing in the earth. And part of it is this given life of fellowship to the Lord.